Lord, we praise you, we worship you, we give you glory, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. We were created to worship you. And we worship you. We were created to praise you, and we praise you. We were created to minister to you. Not just you for us, but us to you. And so we're going to do what we are created for. We worship you. Just right now, church, everyone, you just close your eyes right now and just worship God for 30 seconds right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you. We give you glory and honor. We bless the holy name of Jesus. We declare you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We praise you for all that you are and all that you do. We thank you, Lord. There is none beside you, Lord. None beside you. You are the top, the number one. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We give you glory. We give you glory. We give you glory. We thank you for great encounters for every group tonight in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We just come into the anointing, the presence of God, and we rejoice. We rejoice in you, Lord. We love you. We love you. We praise you. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We do what we're created to do. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. I learned something from Keith Moore. He said, when we're in these moments like this, he said, when you start getting distracted, pull yourself back. Practice pulling yourself back. If you practice to pull your thoughts back to worship God, it'll change your life. You have to practice, you know, because every one of us, we get distracted. What's going on? Where did I go? What am I? But you pull yourself back and you focus back on Jesus to worship him. Amen. If you'll practice that, it'll actually change your life. You'll get more out of a service than you've ever have. Thank you, Lord, for your presence tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. All right, you may be seated in the presence of the Lord, and we say goodbye to Launch and the youth. Y'all have a wonderful time tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you guys for coming in here. Praise God. All right, I feel the Holy Ghost now. Thank you, Jesus. Church, we're made to worship and minister to him. To minister to him. We've got to get that. And to spend that time, because we're coming up on a time where things are going to change, and we've got to be in the presence of the Lord. And so what I want you to take, I'm going to say something to you, and I want you to take this to heart. We do certain things in services, and they all have purpose. There's plans. Each meeting has a purpose. But in these days, you want to watch out that okay, the song's over. Let's all just turn the corner. There's going to be some times when we don't turn the corner anymore. Okay? So just remember that and be ready to just stay in that attitude of worship. Amen? I was just talking to Jesse about that. I just talked to Deb about that. We're just coming upon those times. Now, tonight, go over to Ephesians 2. This is usually a teaching night, and it's going to be tonight. Because I'm obeying the Lord. Now, we've been talking about faith, and then the Lord just threw this at me. He said, I want you to teach on the influence of demons. And so I'm going to. Now, it would take me 8 weeks to start at the origin and go through everything. So I'm going to give you my best shot for the night, okay? And there are different thoughts about the origins of demons. Some people think they're the fallen angels. Some people think that they're a pre-Adamic race, pre-Adamic creatures. Brother Hagin actually believed that. And So we'll study that out, but right now we're going to go here, dealing with them today. Okay? All right. So, Ephesians 2:1, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, the fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with us, which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you were saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So every person who is not born again is under the rule of the world system. They do not have a choice. You are born again. Your spirit was recreated, and you have a choice. You still have a choice. You're not just in the light and you have to go that way. You have a choice. Okay. You now have been empowered. What this is telling us right here is that we're no longer controlled by Satan. If you're a born-again Christian, you are not controlled by Satan. Or let me say it this way, you don't have to be. All right, so it said, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world. Now that phrase there, according to, is the word kata. It means forceful or dominating. And Paul chose this word, the Holy Spirit through Paul chose this word, to tell us that we were completely dominated or manipulated by the course of the world. Okay? You were completely dominated. So listen, when you see all these people who are not born again, the atheists, the agnostics, the other religious people that don't know Jesus, and you're like, oh my word, this is exactly what you can say right here. Consider the source. There's no light. So you don't have to be shocked by that. Amen. All right, so the word course, aiona, it's A-I-O-N-A. I don't really know how to pronounce that, but I'll give it my best shot. So it means an allotted time, or it would mean like this. It'd be like the age. It'd be like, remember they used to say the Roaring Twenties? And then there are people say that they were the 80s ladies. Remember that? So it's about being in a certain time, in a certain era. And so according to the era that's going on, people get sucked into the world system. You can see it so clearly today. So clearly today. People that are sucked into different thoughts, different thought patterns, and they behave a certain way, and they're just manipulated and controlled by it and think it's right. Right. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are y'all here?
Yes.
All right. I need a little action besides just Jesse Wallace. Come on. All right, now, so before we were born again, by popular thinking of our own particular time and generation, fluctuating philosophies and ideas. So depending on what's going on, people are dominated by that. Would you agree with that? You should, because that's the Bible. Okay, so the word cosmos, you know that. That's order and arrangement. That's the world system. So you walked around controlled by the fashion of the day and the thinking of the hour. That's what people are doing right now. That's why they don't mind mixing. They'll be up there singing and put a drag queen dancer in their video when they aren't of that tendency, but it's just all mixed together. See what I'm saying? I love people, church. I'm not against any people, but I am against sin and the things that are wrong. Okay, so they just mix it all together, because after all, we're supposed to love everybody. Well, you can love everybody, but you still hate the sin. We do love everybody. We're not against people. But we are not going to change what we believe with God and about God and about us. Now, so it says they, you walked according and controlled by the fashion of the day. So now, so who's working behind the scenes then? Obviously, we know it's the prince of the power of the air here that they're talking about. Now, three things. He's a prince. Arkanta. He's the ruling position. He's a real prince ruling over demon spirits, exercising authority over lost men and women who have been blinded, right? The God of this world, he rules over them. They don't even know it. They're just free. Number two, he does have some power. He has exousia, the prince of the power. That word right there is the prince of authority. Okay, exousia. It's not dunamis. Okay, all right. So he has some power, but wait, don't get nervous about him having power because we're about to shut it down. Now, so number three, his power is based and located in the air. Now, what do we mean by that? Well, it's not the pure and wonderful mountain air that we go breathe, and it's not outer space. It's actually the dense environment that engulfs the earth in the spirit realm. Okay? So this is where he has his power. And this is where he's doing things to affect people. You guys know this. So that's why they call him the God of this world. Now, we're kingdom people. You understand that? We're of the kingdom. All right. So he's still the God of this world. But here's the thing. He has no authority over you. You have authority over him. And in your world, he's absolutely, totally defeated. Absolutely. You have nothing to be afraid of. You don't ever have to be concerned about it. But you do need to learn how to deal with him. Amen. All right. So, today, the way he uses influences on people or influence on people, I want you to remember that word influence because I want to show you something about it. Is he gets them to believe lies. That's it. Spirits talk to your thoughts. And there's familiar spirits. In other words, ones that hang around families or come down through generations. And they'll try to influence the person. Influence meaning you're going to be lied to. And if you buy the lie, it could affect you emotionally. You would feel that influence emotionally. And so have you ever been jealous? Don't lie. You have. You remember that feeling? Ugh. You know, okay, have you ever had fear? You know that feeling, don't you? That's the influence of, listen, you do not have a spirit of fear. It's not in there. You have a wellspring of faith. That fear comes from the outside, gets in your thinking, and then you build that up. Amen. All right, so here's the thing. He can only beat you with deception. If you believe the lie and you start talking it, it gains a place and then the demonic influence comes in. It can come in and influence your emotions and try to attack your body. And sometimes you might get a little pain somewhere and then the devil will get out his flip chart. Just because possibly, you know, as you've lived, maybe you misused a few body parts. You ran too hard on your ankles or something, or you did something, or you stuffed yourself with Twinkies for 50 years or whatever it might be. Look straight ahead. At least you'll be preserved well. Whatever the case may be, if you have that little ache or pain and there really might be a little something that needs to be cleaned up, listen, your body will heal itself. Yes, it will. Your body beats cancer every day. Free radicals, unless you're just piling more and more junk all the time, it'll beat. It can beat any brain thing, any neurological thing. Your body can do it. Jesus is the healer, and he's in you. So you got double. Amen. You can heal up. Yes, you can. I love what Keith Moore says. He says, well, how about if you just decided not to get any worse? Just don't get any worse. And then you start going the other way. Amen. Praise the Lord for Brother Moore. All right. Now, so you can beat that. You learn to say no. Now, I've told you this a million times. I'm going to say it one more time. Words fight thoughts. Out loud words fight thoughts. Thoughts don't fight thoughts. Words fight thoughts. You have to say something out loud and stop the thought. Everybody close your eyes. Quit cheating. I see that. Close your eyes. Now, in your mind, count to 10. Ready? Go. All right. Say Jesus out loud.
Jesus.
What happened to your thoughts? You had to stop counting. You had to, your mind had to stop right then. Words fight thoughts. You'll cut it off right then if you open up your mouth and say, nuh-uh. No, I'm not taking that. You get out of here. Words fight thoughts. You need to write that down, put that in the front of your Bible, remember it forever, that words fight thoughts. You can't just think, I'm not going to think that anymore. Yeah, because there's forces coming in trying to feed you a list. You have to say, no, you're leaving. No, I'm not going that way. I'm not going the way of the bad grandpa or the whatever or this or that or anything else. I'm going the way. No, I'm not going to have those temptations that so-and-so in my family had or anyone else. Or I'm not going to act like them, or I'm not going to do that. Or I'm not taking the spirit of rejection. I'm accepted in the beloved. But you're going to have to do the talking. Now, y'all know this because you remember the word wiles. Remember, I've taught this to you. I teach this to you at least once a year on purpose. That's what pastors have to do. We have to repeat revelation all the time. So wiles means with a road. One road. The devil has one way to get to you. Deception. If it's his device. It's called nomata, I believe. And it's the method is called methodos, if I can pull that up. Anyway, what it means is he's got one way to trick you, get you thinking the wrong way, and then get you to talk about it. That's the way he doesn't have any other tricks. There's no other way. He can't come and do anything to you unless you let him. No, he can't. He cannot. He's sealed out.
That's right.
He's sealed out unless you let him in. And by the way, if he does get in, you're the one that empowers what he does, because he has no power against the church of the living God. None. Zero. So you're like, I don't know if I'd want to be preaching on the devil. What if he does something to you? He can't. Not unless I let him in, and I'm not going to. You don't have to be afraid of him or any demonic force. It's already been done. The blood of Jesus is against him. Amen. All right, I got to hurry because that was introduction right there. Okay, now, so Ephesians 6:11 says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. So you're not going to fight people. We're not fighting Biden or anybody else, whoever you're mad at in politics. You're not fighting them. You're actually fighting against principalities, powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. And if you notice right there, those are ranks and orders, are they? Now, the devil's not that smart. He copied God because the angelic forces are in rank and file. They're in order. Amen. And we don't have time to go over their order. We're just going to go over this one. So each of those represent a rank or an order of the demonic forces. And the number one there is principalities. Okay. Principalities are chief rulers. They reside over nations, religions, and their strongholds of thoughts. Do you know, let's talk about New York City. They're with the stronghold right there. So what do you know about New York City people that is already a stronghold built over what we all think about them? Rude. They're rude out on the street. We think they're rude because we're Southern sweet people. But I'm sure they probably have something they think about us. But you see what I'm saying? That is a thought that just covers the world. I go to New York. There's just a bunch of rude people. Isn't that true? And what do they say about Texans? Pride, bragging, you know, everything's big in Texas. You know, that's a thought. And then there's a thought about being a Democrat, and a thought about being a Republican, and a thought about MAGA, and a thought about this, and a thought about LGB, blah, 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 whatever the alphabet is there. There's a thought about that. And depending on how many people buy into it, the stronghold gets stronger. That's why somebody's building the Flashpoint Army, because we want that thought to get stronger. Or, you know, I do. Okay, so we want the kingdom of God thoughts to be stronger. But those principalities are riding in the realm and overseeing these forces that cause people to come into this school of thought. Well, I mean, it's okay for us to teach these children that. That's a stronghold that began to cross lines. Now, sitting in here, not one of us believe in that. And we're right. Now, powers. The next word was powers. Those are dominators. They try to dominate. They try to force. They come at you like they can control you. And they do control some people. In my lifetime, I had relationships, not personally or marriage or anything like that, but I was around some people who were hostile. They're hostile, and they threw things, and they tore up things. And, and it was rough. But that was that dominating thing, that power that got on them. And they felt if they're just hostile that it was the answer. And that if they did that for a moment, it would just control everybody else. Y'all see what I'm saying? It goes the other way too. How about that person that gets all pitiful? And they control everyone with their, am I right?
That's right?
Same kind of stuff, same kind of junk. That let me see if I have a way that I can use this dominating force to get what I want. Yeah. And then when they do it enough, a demonic spirit comes and helps them with that. Yeah. Okay. Now the next one, the rulers of darkness of this world. Now, they preside over regions of ignorance. Okay? They keep it dark. They keep it dark. They keep it miserable. Church, ignorance is not stupid or stupidity. It's not people with no sense. These are smart people. Ignorance means they don't know. They're just ignorant. They really don't know truth. They really don't know the truth about something. And so they're what we would, wouldn't we say this? They're in the dark. We even just say that. Oh, they're just in the dark about that. They don't know, you know, but there's a ruler over this, and they love to keep people in it and keep them miserable. And so they love to keep people ignorant, and people say stupid things. And you know, a lot of people hear words and they think it makes them sound good, and they'll repeat things that are absolutely ignorant. Well, you know, the Bible contradicts itself. The Bible does not contradict itself. You have to translate it with other scriptures to get what you need to get out of it. You compare other scriptures, but it's not contradicting. Amen. It doesn't contradict. If you get things in context, you will see that it doesn't. Amen. So, but people make remarks like that. Or what about the real ignorant ones that say, well, you know, praise the Lord. We never know what God's going to do. His wonders to whatever they say. No, we do know what God's going to do. All we got to do is look in the Word and we know what God's going to do. We can absolutely know what God's going to do. Well, he did this to do that. Y'all know I don't even have to go there. Y'all know that stuff. Okay, next. Spiritual wickedness. Now, I like this one. I like to think about that. I don't want to be involved in this, but think about how this really fools people. Highly refined, sublime evil. It's disguised falsehood in the garb of truth. And I'll explain that to you. It's called antinomianism. I almost got it. I practiced it 5 times. Antinomianism. Got it. Now, what that actually really is a word. And it's in the guise of religion, but it's the belief that you are not bound to any law. It means you don't need any morals. That's what spiritual wickedness is. You don't have to obey anything. And I'm going to go ahead and say this. The grace message pulled a lot of people way over into that. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter. You can just go ahead and sin anyway because you're going to go to heaven. Nope. That you will go to heaven. Yeah. But the reason why we don't sin is, number one, we have the nature of God and we want to honor God and we don't want to hurt people. And then the third thing is there's a lying, legalistic devil out there that'll take you to the curse immediately if you start getting into habitual sin. Yeah. So you may go to heaven, but you have hell on earth. And so who wants that? Because we're supposed to start living good here. Yes. Amen. So these spirits, these spiritual wickedness, they're just like, oh, whatever. It's just, you just be who you are. And you see that across religions. Some of them don't believe anything. And then we have people in the body of Christ that are like, oh, I'm okay. Just grace me. I've heard people say, you know, I don't have to tithe. I'm not going to tithe. And I know I should, but I'm not going to. I'll just depend on the grace of God. Actually, can I tell you, you're dependent on the wrong thing. You should call for mercy. Yeah, you should call for mercy because grace empowers you to do it. You want that too. Grace is an empower, but you would want the mercy of God and repent of that if you want God involved in your finances, if you don't, fine. And also if you don't want any destruction in your life. Amen. Okay, so now, here's how they want to affect us. Let's talk about this. Number one, in our own sinful propensities, whatever you have a tendency to, whatever came along in life and you're kind of a little bit too soft about that, and so they're going to come along and try to push that thing. Like if you suffer from rejection, there's about 5 spirits of rejection that'll try to come in and bother you. If you suffer from a lot of fear, there's different fear demonic forces that will try to come in and oppress you. Got it? So if the Lord will lead me, I want to do those 5 spirits of rejection. Because I think that it will help a lot of people, but I'm not going to do it right now. So, but it would be anything like if you have trouble with eating, or lust, it's going to bug you there. People that have trouble with, pornography, well, there's going to be that temptation and they're going to have to shut it down and get delivered and get rid of the spirits that are behind that. Amen. Praise the Lord. And you know, I know we can sit up and say, oh, thank God I don't have that. But there could be something that bothers you. It may not be that. It may be something else. Anyway, jealousy, lust, you know, all the stuff. And then number 2, with the evil passions of others, pride, ambition, spirit of revenge. Spirit of revenge is a big one. It's a big one. And the enemy will help you with that. Number three, the evil customs, laws, opinions, employments, pleasures of the world, which are all a part of the dark kingdom. You know, people get involved, good Christian people getting involved in gambling to the point that it's demonic. People that get involved in bad business deals, but because it'll make a buck, we can go ahead and have this cheating situation. We'll just kind of go around that. The devil will help you with that, church. It's demonic. Okay. I like this one, to talk about this one. With error, superstition. Mm-hmm. False doctrine. That's all a part of that. Believing the wrong thing. There's a lot of wrong. It's demonic to believe that God hurts you to teach you a lesson. That's demonic. But you don't have to go very far from here to hear it in another building. And it's demonic, but they don't know it because that ignorance is riding on that. It's true. But God is good. He's not doing that. Y'all know that. I don't have time to go into that. All right. Now, superstition. What about that? You don't want nobody to give you the ojo. Am I right? I was raised around all that. Y'all don't think I'm a Mexican, but I am. Don't let this blonde hair fool you. See, my dad, we lived with Mexican people. I'm from San Marcos, okay? And so, I mean, we're around all of that all the time. And people were real serious about it. And people were real serious about throwing salt over their shoulder and not walking under a ladder and black cat and knock on wood. You still hear that? That's all superstition. Has nothing to do with God. It's demonic. All right. And then here's the wickedness of the pagan world. Right? The sins of the unenlightened nations. You know who those are? The ones that have other gods. That's not part of, that's part of the dark kingdom. So wherever we come in contact with evil, wherever, whether in our own hearts or elsewhere, we need to make sure that against all these things, we use our authority. We say no to every one of these five things, every one of them. No, I'm not going to be superstitious. No, I'm not going to get into false doctrine. No, I'm not. And God will keep you. I pray all the time, please, Lord, don't let me be deceived. Show me the truth and I'll go with the truth. I'm okay. If I've been wrong and I'll get up in front of our congregation and tell them I was wrong about this, I'm happy to tell people I don't know. Well, you're supposed to know it all. No, I don't know the whole counsel of God. I'm learning just like you are. I just have to do my part, my job. And that is look you in the face and teach you and remind you of the revelation that sets you free. Amen. Your pastor needs to see your face, not just live with you out online. Okay, now let's go here. Can a demon affect a person and not be inside of them? Yes. Demons can affect a person in many minor ways as well as many serious ways without being inside them. This happens through what we call oppression. Oppression and fleeting evil thoughts. We've just been talking about all that. People are oppressed. Why do people are still grieving 10 years after someone dies? They're oppressed. They bought in to thinking they need to be loyal to death. When the person they love is alive and well, and doing well in the kingdom just on the other side, and we're going to be back with them, and yet they feel this loyalty to the tragedy of death. Things like that. That doesn't fly with God. Amen? So that's just an example. It could be anything. Stinginess. That's oppression. That's fear that you won't have enough. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. You all know examples. Now listen to these scriptures. This is Luke 6:18. Also a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Did you get that? Okay. So a demon can torment a person from the outside. The word torment is the Greek word okleo, and it means to harass, disturb, trouble the mind or the emotions. Now, this is not possession. You're not possessed. There are people who say that Christians can be possessed. I don't believe that. I think you can be severely oppressed, but I don't know that I believe you can be totally possessed. Now, I believe a non-Christian can be, and Legion had like 600 demons bugging him. And one demon inside, y'all know who Legion is? Okay, in the Gadarenes. And one demon in him made all these others around him go crazy. Y'all know that? Okay. So, but this, just because demonic forces are bothering you, harassment of the mind and the emotions is what's going on here, and harassing the body. But listen, you don't have to take it. If you think the enemy's trying to put sickness and disease on you, it's starting here. It could be that you misused your body, so you need healing. It could be that you misused your body and talked about it to the point that a spirit came and began to bother you with that thing.
Right.
Or what about being accident prone?
All right,
that's a demon spirit.
Yep, that's right.
What about people that are sick and then they're 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 sick?
Yeah.
It's a spirit.
There
are diseases that are spirits. They, listen, demonic forces and chemistry connect. You know what pharmakeia is? Drugs. Okay. When people do meth, they go to a certain high. And when they do, demonic forces come in, and your body gets hooked to it, but your emotions get hooked to it, and your mind gets hooked to it. Same thing with marijuana, and don't get mad at me, but I'm gonna tell you, same thing with alcohol. And the alcohol, certainly the others, if you drink enough of it, and I know there are people who just drink that much wine with their dinner and all that stuff, but if you drank enough of it to where you were getting high all the time, when you get sober, demons bother you. Ask me how I know. Because I've lived that life. Thank God it's been over for many, many years. But I was worse off the next day. Made me cuckoo. All kinds of things bothered me. So demons love that kind of stuff. They love to get your chemistry messed up. See, before you were born, we didn't have anything called bipolar. Did we? We didn't even have ADD. That just meant add. You're like, well, it was there. Maybe. But maybe over the years, with so much chemicals and so much junk on our food and so much stuff in the atmosphere and so many demonic forces coming in with all this, maybe that's why children have struggled. Maybe that's why people have struggled. That's maybe why bipolar exists. And then when you go ahead and get labeled for that, then this happens and that happens. Listen, I have complete sympathy for people that get out of balance. I know about it. You can get out of balance in your chemistry. Absolutely. It's real. It's real. And some people take one little pill for it and it helps them. If that's what it takes to make you be okay, until God has another way for you, take the pill. But you can also be delivered. Amen. You know, diabetes is a spirit. But take your insulin until God delivers you. Don't be silly about it. If you don't have 20/20 vision, which if I don't right now, I declare I do. But I'm not going to take my glasses off and risk hurting someone. Be Mr. Magoo. Anybody old enough to know Mr. Magoo? Woohoo! Look at that. All right, let's finish. So, I've seen people suffer with phobias, and they've been healed completely. I have been. I used to have motion sickness. I don't have it anymore. Amen. I've known people who couldn't, claustrophobia. They've been delivered from it. All sorts of things. You could be delivered from it. Brother Copeland had a problem with crossing bridges. He couldn't stand to go across a bridge. Lots of people get stuff like that. It is, you get delivered. You keep going until you get delivered. Amen. And nobody has to feel bad about it. But demons, in this case, they're not necessarily in the person. They're harassing their mind and emotions because they know they can bug you. They know they can. What about the people that say, my daddy died of that, and his daddy died of that, and their daddy died of that. Mom and them had it too. You better break that thing. Because those are familiar spirits. The uncommitted will try to get on the committed. You don't need to do that. Don't commit yourself to that. Don't do that. Don't be like that. It'll try. It'll try to work it out. Nah, you don't need to do that. I mean, it's the littlest things that try to bug people. But you don't have to put up with any type of harassment. And listen, I'm going to tell you something. Whatever it is, let someone pray for you. Amen. You're like, well, I'm supposed to be big in the spirit. Are you kidding me? I've gotten Deb and Danny and said, come in here, girls. I need you. This feels more like an influence than it does just my emotions right now. And they'll rebuke that. Over the years, Deb's rebuked all kinds of stuff off of me. You're like, well, how did you get like that? Because the devil talked me into listening a little bit. But we need to resist him. And over the years, you'll get stronger and stronger and stronger at this. You'll get to where, you'll recognize him. I recognize him a lot faster. And I go, oh, that's an influence. I can get out of here in the name of Jesus. And that's what I want to talk to you about just here as we're closing. Mark 16:17 says, these signs will follow those who believe in my name, will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them, and they will lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. Now, some would say that casting out devils, laying hands on people, was for the 12 disciples. But we have proof that that's not so. Because Jesus said, the Bible says in Luke 10:1, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 also and sent them two by two before his face in every city and place whither he himself would come. Okay? So this is for us as well. I don't think I put this in my notes, but I'll tell you this. The way you can discern, there's two spiritual gifts that will help you discern spirits. One of them is discerning of spirits, and the other one is the word of knowledge. You can become aware. You can get spiritual enough that you can know what's bothering someone. And don't go up to them and say, hey, you got a demon. I'm not even going there. Y'all know better than that. Okay, so so he told them in verse 5, and I want y'all to get this because this is going to help. We've talked about this. Whatever house you enter, first say, Peace be to this house. In other words, shalom. Shalom in this house. Which means there should be nothing missing, nothing broken. Okay? God's word tells us to come and announce peace in whatsoever house we enter, including this one. When you walk up to our door on Sunday, say, peace be in this house.
Amen.
Start saying it. Okay. Shalom, shalom, peace be in this house. So we don't want any satanic squatters in here. Nothing that's going to try. You know what offense comes from? Demonic thoughts. And then the devil starts playing you and playing you and playing you. Amen.
Amen.
Peace be into this house. Nothing missing, nothing broken. And so in Jesus' name, and when you do that, the demons will right then absolutely start lacing up their shoes to take a run. They'll go. Peace be into this house. Do it at your work. Peace be into this house. You walk into that apartment building or whatever you're, or those places you're selling. Peace be into this house. What does shalom do? You remember what shalom do? It gets rid of the authority of attached to chaos. Just that one word. It'll break that chaos. What do we do? How are we going to? Some people need shalom in their persons because they're always going to come back at you. They always have a better idea, and they're going to sell it to you until you can't, until you're choking on it.
Yep.
They have chaos.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about being a good salesman. I'm talking about you can tell when someone just, this is what we'd say, they just ride you about it. Just ride. When you don't even want to know. But it's my way. It's my way. It's my way. You got to see it my way. You got to see it my way. That's demonic. In fact, that's real close to Jezebel. Okay, now, so the same is true. The shalom is the same is true there when you're going to pray for someone. And this is one of the last things I want to talk about. When you lay hands on someone, the demon who had this person bound knows that he has to go because here comes the power. Okay. So they're not afraid of us, but they're afraid of the anointing. The devil's not afraid of us. He's afraid of the word. He's afraid of the word. That's why he tries to steal the word out of you the moment you walk out of here. Because it's easier to steal a seed than it is a tree. You start getting some faith going, it's hard on him. You start getting anointed. You spend enough time with God and you get anointed enough, those little devils will walk right past your front door. They're going to go, there ain't no sense in bothering them. They're not going to let us. They'll kick us out and tear us up. The other way around. All right. Don't you just know that the devil remembers when the Holy Ghost came into the pit of hell and just broke Jesus free, just energized Jesus, and Jesus just took over and just started bam, bam, bam. I mean, it's the greatest beating that Satan ever got. And they're all going, whoo.
Oh, my goodness.
And every time you walk up with this anointing on you, yeah. Hey, don't freak out if you walk into a store and somebody falls down on the floor and goes, boo, boo, boo. I've had that happen to me before. I walked into a Bible bookstore, a Christian Bible bookstore, and someone had a conniption fit when I walked in. They were demonic. And the lady was like, come on. Just like, stop. And they got up and went on. But don't be surprised. They freak out at what we have. You do not have to let them control you in any form or fashion. You need to remember that, church. You'd never be afraid. You tell them to get out. You get that off of your mind. The scripture says plainly, whatsoever house you go into, That's what we're talking about. When you're going to say shalom, you start by first walking in authority in your own house. Start using your authority in your own house, in your own house. Use that authority. Don't just let things go. And if you have people come to visit you, clean your house afterwards. You own rent property, clean those spiritually. People come stay with us. I don't care how lovely they are. We spiritually clean our house. When you go into a hotel room, before you lay down on that bed, you clean that room. Because people leave stuff behind. They do. There's junk. They'll leave junk behind. You know how I know that? I'll tell you one example here. Ooh, we're running the clock out. Okay. So me and Deb went to Disneyland back when it was good. And we stayed in this hotel, and we forgot to clean the room. And in the middle of the night, I was dreaming about little kids and cartoons. Evidently, I was sleeping in the bed where a little kid had slept, and they were all in their fun little Disney World mind. I woke up going, why am I dreaming about Mickey Mouse? And then I went, oh yeah. So I yell across over there to Deb, hey Deb, we need to make sure we clean this. Oh yeah. But that was many, many years ago. We never forget now. We always clean the room.
Amen.
Amen.
Yep.
And like, oh pastor, nothing. It'll save you a lot of heartache if you'll do it. Get in there and do it. I bind you, devil. Get out of here in the name of Jesus. We always say this. We bind you in the name of Jesus. We cast you out of here, and we declare this room is fit for the master's use. This room is fit. My house is fit for the master's use. My car is fit for the master's use. This church is fit for the master's use. This body is fit for the master's use. That's what we need to be saying. This is his. Amen. All right, I'll close it up. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. It says in 1 John 3:8. The word destroy there means to break the power of or paralyze him. Now, y'all know scriptures over there. Whatsoever you bind on earth, whatever you prohibit will be prohibited. You've been given the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you prohibit, heaven will back you up. Whatever you permit, heaven will back you up. There's different thoughts on that scripture. I don't think they're wrong, but I think this is right. They just work either way you're going to do it. But what you have to do is permit heaven to come in and prohibit hell. Shalom. Amen. Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you, Lord, that there is no force bigger than you. We declare God's word over every situation, and we know that God has given us spiritual authority to send demons packing. So in the name of Jesus, if there be any demonic forces within the sound of my voice, I rebuke you. I cast you out of this place in Jesus' name. I send you to a dry place in the name of Jesus. You will not be tolerated. When people come in here that want to keep their spirits, they will be bound while they're sitting in here. The moment they come in the door, they will not be able to operate in our presence in Jesus' name. That's one more thing I have to say over you. Some people want to keep their demons. You remember the pigs? And they got mad because the demons got into the pigs and ran them off. Jesse Duplantis. Remember, he had things that, Lord, help us be good or something, but we want to keep our pigs. And he had a pet hog in the story and everything. Yeah, it was real cute. Some people want to pet their hog. They want to keep it. I want to keep what bothers me because I get attention, or I'll keep my check. Stepping on toes right there. Amen. Live life abundant. Live life abundant. You are free. You can get up every day. If you sense something, get rid of it. Tell it to go. Nancy said that they were in the boat. Remember the rat in the boat? When Nancy, we learned that maybe 5-6 years ago. There was a rat in the boat, and they jumped up and they killed that rat.
Yeah.
get that picture in your mind. If a thought tries to come to you, if someone rejects you or hurts your feelings, kill that rat. Knock it out of there. When some people left this church and they started talking real ugly about us and everything, and it hurt my feelings. They were longtime friends of ours and everything. It hurt my feelings and it took me a moment to get over it. But I found myself killing the rats. And then I was able to go, oh, I forgive them. They don't really know what they're doing. They wouldn't have done that if they understood truth. And I was able to let it go. But in my mind, I had to kill the rats. I couldn't just go, why? Why did they do? How could they do that after all these years? And that's the devil. Because it isn't any of my business. You come, I'm happy you're here. You go, may not be happy if you leave, but I will get over it. Because my heart has to be a revolving door. And the same way it is with people in your life. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's stand up. You know what? Let's sit down. Let's receive our offering. Y'all are so good. Let's receive our offering. Father, we thank you for the tithes and the offerings that are coming in tonight. Lord, we ask you to bless every tither. We thank you that the blessing is working in their life and that a devourer is rebuked in their lives. And we thank you also for the giver. And we thank you, Lord, for the great harvest in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we'll tell you, go ahead, brother. As you're receiving the offering, I'll tell you that there has been a breakthrough for the ministry. So I'm fully expecting for you to have a breakthrough. And I will tell you that on the 13th of this month, Salvador's bringing a crew in here. And they're going to rip out the floors. They're going to take up our trim. They're going to remove the doors, and that's going to be phase one of us getting ready to put our floors in. And then a man named Lewis is going to come in here. Here's an offering right here. Is going to come in here, and he's going to put a brand new layer of floor from here all the way through the back of the church. And it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be not quite this color. It's going to be brown, shiny, leathery looking. It's going to be beautiful, and it'll cost you $7 a square foot. So that's it. So if you want to do victory by the foot, you can give 7, 70. You can give 14, 28, 35, 42, 700, 7,000, whatever you want to do from now. But I'm going to put a date on it. By the time we leave to go to the convention, we're going to have $35,000 to buy this floor. Jesus' name. All right. You're going to agree with me? God can bring it in any way he wants to. I'm sowing into it, and I believe you'll want to sow into it. Buy a couple of square foot for your family members or whatever. We're going to knock this floor out in Jesus' name. It's going to be beautiful. We're getting some new walls, and Jesse's been getting people in line for that. And by the way, they're working a new computer. We bought a new computer back there, and it's faster. Is it doing good? Amen. And so we're improving. We're actually going to be getting some new equipment up here, and it's going good. It's going good. We've spent a lot of money. By the way, there's either 3 or 4 new churches in the Dominican Republic that we have helped with. I'll get the right figure on that. But so we're church building as we've given. And now I believe God wants to bless us with fixing up this house. Amen. Praise the Lord. He's going to spend some money on us. We've spent it on everybody else. He's going to spend it on us. So if you'd like to give online, you can text to give. Click to Victory 73256. You click the link and give whatever the Lord tells you to give. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is good. And when you do give, we can't tell you which square foot is yours, okay? Well, maybe. Y'all sit there right there so you'll know yours, right? Mine will be right here. You got yours? Okay, praise the Lord. Let's stand up. Praise God. God is good. Thank you, Jesus. Tonight was launch for the first time. Pastor Danny and Jordan are back there teaching the young adults, so that's good. Miss Deb is with the kids, so they're having Disney World back there. Praise the Lord. Janice back there with her, and so that's going good. Father's Day, you're going to have a treat of having breakfast made for you, all you fathers. So that's going to be good. I understand that Miss Lizzie is going to be helping with that. Kevin might not even know about it, but you do. Okay. And then Kim's team is going to help with that. And so that's going to be good. And Deb has also become the decorator of the church, she and Susanna. And so they've already got decorations for Father's Day and July 4th. They're ready to go. So we're getting ahead of schedule. And it's going to be good. And after I preach to you on Sunday, I'm going to fly to Albuquerque, New Mexico, and go to a tent meeting in Raton and stay there for a couple of days. And I'm coming back on Wednesday. And Miss Patty's going to preach to you. Because I'll be getting off the plane too late to be here. And then I'm going to stay for about a week, and then I'm going to Europe. And Pastor Danny will be handling you guys for a couple of weeks, because I'm going to be gone all that time. And I'm going to miss you, but it's going to be fun. God is good. Someone was saying, well, will you go to church there? Oh, a whole lot of them. They're everywhere, and they're beautiful, all to the glory of God. And I just bought my tickets today to see Michelangelo's David. Did y'all know he's 17 feet tall? I can hardly wait to put my eyes on that miraculous sculpture. It's beautiful. And then, of course, all the other people who loved God by doing good art. And people are like, well, they shouldn't have done all that in the church. I think they should. I think God loves beautiful things. Throw out the religion, bring in the good stuff. It's all good. Amen. All right. Everybody good? Father, we thank you that we're the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. Blessing is overtaking us today. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. Everything we put our hands to do prospers. And Father dear, as we go out of here, we thank you that we are no longer victims, but victors in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you guys. See y'all Sunday.